Gwenthel said, pulling him close and biting his lip.
Tell you?
Everything, she said. And she shoved him down atop his desk. Jarlaxle figured that in all of Faerûn, there were probably only a score of magic users or priestesses powerful enough to get through the multitude of magical wards he had spent years enacting around his private quarters, and maybe half that number who could do so without him being aware of the intrusion. Unfortunately for him, one of that select group was his brother, Gromf Beanri.
Well met,
he greeted, sliding his chair around to regard the archmage.
To what do I owe this most unexpected pleasure?
My generous personality.
Jarlaxle nodded.
How fares Luskin?
Jarlaxle shrugged.
It is a wretched place of wretched people, so not well, I presume. But I fare well here, profitably so.
Fortunately so, I would say.
The gems and baubles flow back to Zorlaren as agreed, and to the coffers of House Beanri, I would expect.
Fortunately so. For you.
Is there an issue? Do tell.
I am sure there is. I did not come here to see you, but merely as a guide for another who is about within the city.
Yet here you are. Fortunately, no doubt, for me.
For another, who is at Ship Kerth, Gromf added.
And Jarlaxle had to work hard to keep the concern from his face.
Come to study the host tower's tendrils, then? To discern the important ties to the city now called Zorlaren?
No. Come to speak with Biago Beanri.
Jarlaxle sat back and tried very hard to look unimpressed.
It is not a name he has used
in a century or more, Gromf agreed. But alas, Beanri is a surname he cannot escape.
Do you plan to speak openly or continue in riddles?
Jarlaxle asked, starting to rise.
Sit down, Gromf instructed, stopping him in mid-stand.
Jarlaxle stared at the old mage for a long while, measuring the possibilities. Had it come at last to a battle between them, he wondered? There were many ways in which Jarlaxle could strike at Gromf in this room. Traps he could strategically spring, including no small number of disenchantments that might strip much of his brother's magical armor away. But no, Jarlaxle realized. His best action would be a swift retreat, and that too could be done with a mere tug on his earring.
The barmaid at the inn across the river is one of your lovelies?
Gromf asked, and seemed quite pleased with himself for having discerned that information, or even that there was an inn across the river with which Jarlaxle was associated.
A plaything,
Jarlaxle replied nonchalantly.
Pretty for a human. Perhaps you will bring her along.
Are we going somewhere?
Oh, yes, I expect we are.
More riddles?
It is not my place to tell you.
Jarlaxle started to respond, but bit it back, seeing the seriousness in Gromf's expression. That last claim hadn't been some off-handed remark. The mage had chosen his words purposely and carefully. But who could claim a place above Gromf?
When might I expect more guests, then? Jarlaxle asked. Shall I prepare for a visit? Some food brought down for a proper feast of greeting, perhaps?
Just sit. And for once, dear brother, do shut up,
the archmage replied. There were times, as when he had first arrived here this day with Beniago,
when Jarlaxle was glad that Gamoriel was not around Luskin. And there were times when Jarlaxle truly missed Gamoriel Oblodra and the Drow's psionic powers, telepathically relaying information to Jarlaxle from a different perspective and a deeper understanding. Or with Gamoriel preparing to discombobulate an aggressive wizard with a blast of mind-scrambling energy. Or with Gamoriel ready and prepared to instantly send a telepathic call to all of Brake and Earth's allies. This was one of those times. An exhausted and battered Beniago Behenry sat in his room, contemplating the dramatic changes. Luskin was his now, and he had just become directly responsible to House Behenry for any failures. He wondered how Jarlaxle had survived all these years, with such vile witches as the matrons flitting around the edges of his domain. Jarlaxle was a master of deception, perhaps the best Beniago had ever known at that intricate craft. But how to fool a matron, let alone the matron mother, given their abilities to magically detect lies? "They need an eye patch," the High Captain quietly lamented. He tried to sort out Matron Mother Quenthal's sudden interest in Luskin, in Bregan de Earth, even in Atreri's band, and by extension in Drizzt. Likely it had to do with Tiago, since Tiago had made no secret of his desire to hunt down the rogue and claim his head as a trophy. "Yes," Beniago mused. Jarlaxle had gone to great lengths to keep Drizzt hidden away from Tiago, but hadn't that come on advice from Grumph? Beniago shook his head. It all made little sense to him, except that it was clear now that a power shift had occurred in Menzo Berenzon, one that had put his Aunt Quenthal in absolute control. Grumph would likely not be happy. He gave a resigned sigh. For what choice did he have in the matter? He was responsible now and in charge. The caveat to that level of power struck him, though, in his contemplation of his cousin Tiago. Matron Mother Quenthal had made it quite clear that when and if Tiago ventured to Luskin, Beniago was to serve him without question. He wasn't overly fond of his cousin. Indeed, Beniago hated Tiago, and he knew the feeling to be mutual. It was not a good day. "Matron Mother," Jarlaxle said reverently, leaping out of his chair and bowing low when Quenthal Behenry unexpectedly joined Grumph in Jarlaxle's private quarters.